Nieve Sesus and Nuvadi Baskajadi Sitarani. Anchakalpa Chubis Chaki Pasinabi Abachapati Tanampava Navio Vaishnavi Namaha Namaha. So September 16, 2020.
On the VIA. Recording in progress.
From the VIHE. And we're looking at Nectar of Devotion, chapters 29 to 30. This is part one of Vyavichari Bhava. Okay. We are in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar ocean of devotion, and we're in the Southern Ocean, which is all about the five components of rasa: vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyavichari bhava, and stai bhava. Without some mixture of these five ecstatic principles, one cannot relish transcendental bliss. And we are in the fourth wave of Vyavichari Bhav. And we're divided this into two parts. We're doing today part one. So this corresponds to the Nectar Devotion, chapters 29 to 30. This is a very simplified chart. We will have other charts explaining more details of relationships than this one. It's a very simplified understanding that there are stimulants for the basic connection, emotions, voluntary expressions, involuntary expressions that lead to taste. So, Vyavichari Bhav are emotions. They're waves of emotions that arise from, agitate, and return to the ocean of Staibhav, the ocean of the basic relationship. So first we'll look at chapter 29. And here is where Rupa Goswami lists 33 emotional experiences that come from and flavor a devotee's basic relationship with Krishna. And in chapter 29 is the first 13 of those. So, the definition of a Vyavichari Bhav, they're called Vyavichari Bhavs because they move, chananti, against the Stai Bhav while assisting it. So, they're the waves, they're helping the Stai Bhav waves, and they're also moving against, they're moving. And since they set in motion, sancharayanti, the course of the Stai Bhavs, they're also called Sanchari Bhavs. So, mostly we'll be using the word Vyavichari Bhavs, but Sanchari Bhav is a synonym. So, a general description of a Vyavichari Bhav. Their emotions, they're rising and falling like waves in the sweet ocean of the Stai Bhav, which Rupa Goswami uses the term Rati as a synonym for the Stai Bhav. The basic connection, the basic love we have with Krishna. Of course, that we'll discuss our last, not our last three classes, but after Vyavichari Bhavs, we'll have three classes on the Stai Bhav. So the Vyavichari Bhavs increase the Stai Bhav, and then they merge into the Stai Bhav. So it's a wave that increases that the basic relationship with Krishna, and then it merges back into that relationship. Okay. Now, how does this work? Now, you would all remember from our class on the sattvika bhavs about sattva. So last week we discussed the sattvika bhavs. And the sattvika bhavs are when a state of sattva, not sattvagun, is created in the heart and leads to an involuntary expression. So what happens is that there's a basic rati. is a basic relationship that each devotee has with the Lord. Those basic relationships are, of course, everybody knows, neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental or conjugal, or sometimes some mix where one of those is prominent. But then there's all, that's a basic feeling. That's a basic feeling. So, again, I want to emphasize that Rupa Goswami is taking all of this from Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni described a system of understanding aesthetics, of understanding the emotions of all relationships in life, and particularly applied to drama, dance, art. How in drama, in dance, in art, that these emotions of life were then created in the actors and the observers, the participants. So therefore, we can understand something, and Prabhupada writes in the story of Jambavan, that Krishna has all of the propensities that we have. Right? Whatever we have has some origin, some archetype in the spiritual. Whatever we are experiencing is some perverted reflection of the spiritual. And therefore, we can understand something of the spiritual by understanding our own situation. We have to be very careful not to project our material situation onto the spiritual, and we'll be doing a group exercise on that. At the same time, there's some indication. So in this world, we have, I'm hoping all of us have, a friend. Or at some point in our life, we have had at least one friend. So we have a feeling of friendship. Friendship is an experience. I mean, you can say friendship involves what we do together, what we say to each other, and so forth. But there's also a sense of friendship. There's a feeling that we would describe. I feel friendship. And in the course of that friendship, that's our staibhav. That's our basic relationship, our rati, our sense of love for this, for our friend. Our friend's friendship with us, our friendship with our friend. And then there's going to be other emotions that come up. So I'm with my friend, and in the course of being with my friend, we're joking and laughing, right? And in the course of that, my feeling of friendship can be increased and affected by the sense of humor and etc. that's coming up, right? Or maybe there's a sense of concern. One of my friends came to talk to me yesterday about a concern, and there was an emotion of concern, of anxiety. And that worked with the friendship between us. It temporarily flavored the friendship. My feeling of friendship with this devotee is not usually one of concern. But it flavored the friendship and it increased the friendship. And it created a certain feeling in my heart, in my consciousness. And probably in the consciousness of my friend. That emotion that happened in the heart then produced particular actions on my part. I did things in response to that emotion. So the things that I would do would be voluntary actions and involuntary actions. So I had a voluntary action of what I was saying and an involuntary action of my facial expressions. So this is another chart. As we said, we had our basic chart that we've been looking at over and over again. And this is another way of understanding this. So, as I said, the basic chart we have, it's not showing all the subtleties. So here we have our rati. The devotee has, a coward boy has a feeling of friendship. Of course, not all of Krishna's friends are male. Draupadi, for example, is also in Sakyabhav, although she's a city friend rather than a country friend. And then there's various emotions that come up in that feeling of friendship. They may come into the feeling of friendship, right? They're interacting with it. They don't stay. And they don't leave some impression. They're coming, interacting with it, and then leaving. And we'll discuss this much more so in our next class next week. Today we're mostly listing the Vyavicharibhavs. And next week we're really going to get more into the science of the Vyavicharibhavs. But this basic relationship we're doing this week. So please pay close attention to this chart, because I'm going to ask you all to reproduce it from memory in a few moments. So the emotions of Vyavicharibhav, they're meeting with this basic relationship, and they create a state in the heart called sattva, a state in the consciousness of sattva. This state called sattva then induces the devotee to engage in anubhavs and sattvakabhavs, voluntary and involuntary actions. So you're with your friend, and you're talking, and you're walking down the street, and you're having a nice conversation. You start to cross the street, and a car comes, and you all of a sudden an emotion of fear comes. You feel some fear for your friend, and that fear hits against your friendship and increases your feeling of friendship, and so it creates a state in your consciousness which creates an anubhav. You grab your friend and you pull your friend away from the oncoming car, and it may create a sattvikabhav that you it's an involuntary action on your part. And then after you've pulled your friend away from the car, the emotion recedes, and it's not that you have this long-standing impression of fear in your heart. Now, people asked about what's the relationship between Vyavicharibhavs and like sattvikabhavs. The Vyavicharibhavs, they're not exactly voluntary or involuntary. You can't say emotions are voluntary or involuntary. They just kind of are. Emotions are sparked, and Rupa Goswami goes to a detailed explanation, which is what we're going to be looking at today, of what sparks these particular emotions in devotees. Various circumstances that instigate these emotions. But their emotions themselves are not voluntary or involuntary actions. We could say they're involuntary in that I don't plan to have an emotion. I don't say, I think now I'm going to feel afraid, or I think now I'm going to feel satisfied, or it's not like that. So we could say they're involuntary in that sense. They just arise. They arise from, again, our basic relationship. If we don't have any basic relationship with somebody, we don't generally feel emotions in connection with them. For example, if we read in the newspaper that there was an earthquake in Tunisia where we don't know anybody, and 10,000 people died in the earthquake, we think, oh, that's terrible. But that's just intellectual. We don't feel anything. If we're going to feel something, then we read about, one person in Tunisia who lost her parents and she's only 5 years old and she's crying. And then we start getting a basic parental relationship with this person, and that allows us to feel these emotions. And then that may be an action. I may send money to Tunisia to help this person or something like that. Okay. So at the end, we also had a question, which was a really nice question, and it will be answered at the very end of the section of Nectar Devotion, our penultimate class, that some devotees in their experience of rasa can separate these out. Here we don't have any vibhava in this chart. Where's the vibhava? Where's the vyavicharibhavas? Where's the rati? And other times it's all mixed together, and they're not able in their experience to separate this out. Now, also some people brought out that some of the words that describe Vyavichari Bhavas may sound like Sattvika Bhavas or may sound like Anubhavas, because sometimes it's difficult to separate out the causative emotions from the physical actions. And again, we find this in our own life, that sometimes trying to tease out my physical actions from my causative emotions, sometimes they're kind of mixed together. Okay, the meaning of sattva. Sattva is a transformation that happens in the consciousness when the rati is increased or affected or changed in some way. And the best way I can explain this, again, is with a material example. You have a feeling of friendship for someone that's affected by something. It's stimulated by something. You see your friend. There's some increase of the feeling of friendship. It gets churned. You haven't seen your friend for a month or a year, and you see your friend. And you've maintained a feeling of friendship all that time, but when you see your friend, there's something that happens. When the basic feeling is being affected by a vibhava or by a vyavichari bhava, it can produce this state of sattva. Alright, so now we're going to ask you all to take a few minutes and write this relationship from memory. So I'm going to give you a few minutes for that. Okay, now if you can check what you wrote. Okay, I want to open up for a few minutes, just a very, very few minutes, if anybody has any discussions or questions on this relationship and this process. Yes, Swayam Jyoti Krishna Prabhu. You need to unmute. The perpetual Zoom.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
So if you were to look at this graph, yes. This picture, this photograph, the left-hand side, emotions plus basic connection, bhakti, whatever, friendship or this or that, it will lead to sattva.
Yes.
And then the reaction of the sattva, because of the emotions in the rati, they create this anubhavas and sattvika bhavas. Am I right in understanding that?
They certainly create the sattvika bhavas, which are involuntary, and they inspire the anubhavas, which are voluntary.
Okay. Sattvika is involuntary, anubhava is voluntary.
Correct.
Thank you.
So the car comes and I go, huh, that's involuntary.
Right.
Grabbing my friend away from the car is voluntary. Now, it may happen so fast, I don't say, I am going to grab the... But there's some deliberation there. Prabhupada Priya.
Right. Is sattva a temporary state? Or is a devotee always in a state of sattva or other? Or is it something that exists sometimes and doesn't exist sometimes?
That's a very interesting question. You know, because the basic relationship is always there for those who are pure devotees, for those who are siddhas. You know, for those who are sadhakas, but who have some sense of their basic relationship, which would be at the higher stages of sadhana. So in Raganuga sadhana, often starting at Nista and in Ruchi and Ashakti, a person may have some sense of their basic relationship, but it's not constant. So in that case, the state of sattva will come and go. For those who are nichasiddha devotees, then it's simply waves of it coming and going in different emotions. So different emotions of vyavichari bhavs, because they're moving. The vyavichari bhavs are moving. It's why they're called vyavichari or sanchari bhavs. They're moving. And as they move in, the various states of sattva are changing. And we'll look at that next week, how the vyavichari bhavs, they come and they interact and then they leave again. And again, we have some material understanding of that, that my emotions in relationship to my basic relationships are changing. And so the intensity of the feeling and the flavor of the feeling is always changing. But for the pure devotees, yes. Asat literally means what is real, what is existence. That's the literal meaning of sat. We can also translate it, of course, as eternal. Being. And twa means ish. Or, you know, it's beingness. Being-ish, beingness, the state of being, the state of reality. So this state of reality of my basic relationship of Krishna is always there to some extent. But the vibhavs, we're not looking at vibhavs this time, but the vibhavs and the vyavichari bhavs, they're over and over again interacting with that basic relationship to induce this state of beingness, of reality. Does that help?
Yeah, so could we say it's kind of a heightened emotional state?
Correct.
Of consciousness?
Yes. The vibhavs and the vyavichari bhavs heighten the sthayi bhav. The vibhavs, although they stimulate the sthayi bhav, they don't cause the sthayi bhav. The sthayi bhav is causeless.
Because it seems like the sthayi bhav is the state of being. And then the sattva is when that sthayi bhava is agitated by emotion.
Yes.
So it seems like a more of a temporary state of being than a permanent state of being.
The permanent state is the sthayi bhava. But the state of sattva is that churning of it. Mm. An increased sense of it.
So it's like a particular state of being at a particular time.
Yes. But it is increasing the beingness
of
the sthayi bhav in various ways, yes. Now, the vibhavs have a different way of increasing the beingness than the vyavichari bhavs. So the vibhavs, you know, again, to give an ordinary example, and I pick friendship because I'm assuming everyone has experiences of friendship. You know, not everybody may have experiences of feeling parental, and maybe not everyone has had romantic experiences, but I'm assuming that everyone has had a friendship experience, so I like to use that one. Maybe some of you have no friends. I'm sorry if that's the case. But if we have some friendship with someone, a vibhava is our friend himself or herself. So my friend, the other day I was meeting with my friend Krishna Priya. So she and I have been friends for a very, very long, maybe some of you know Mother Krishna Priya here in Hillsborough. So she and I have been friends for a very, very, very long time, for decades and decades. So that sense of friendship I have with her is stimulated by her. If I think about her, if I see her, if I do something for her, that brings out my feeling of friendship. It's also stimulated by other people who are her friends. So like my daughter is also her friend. So if my daughter and I are talking about Krishna Priya, then my feeling of friendship for Mother Krishna Priya will increase. Then it's also stimulated by things in relationship to her. You know, her house. Somebody asked me, where does Mother Krishna Priya live? And I said, there's her house. And that brought out some of my feeling of friendship. But then other things that affect my feeling, they're not exactly stimulating my friendship with her, but they're changing and adding flavor to my feeling of friendship with her. So like she says to me, oh, this person was criticizing me. And so then that brings out a certain emotion in me. I start feeling angry. which mixes with my feeling of friendship. But that's, and increases that state of friendship within me. And then it passes. So either the vibhavs or the vyavicharibhavs are affecting that. Now, of course, in my relations in this world, I'm not feeling my friendship with Mother Krishna Priya 24 hours a day. Sometimes, honestly, I forget about her. And I'm involved in other things. Whereas for the pure devotees, that's not the case. For the pure devotees, that rati is for the siddha devotees, their basic connection, their rati with Krishna is always there. And when we look at, we looked at sattvika bhavs, where, you know, like Mother Yasoda was afraid of Putana in a dream, which wasn't in relation with Krishna, but immediately it got in relationship with Krishna. Advaita Krishna Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji, I'm just reflecting on something and I would like to have your comment on this. The idea of this sthayi bhav, in the sense of discussion that I'm sort of recording, is that it is fixed, but it is not just fixed also, because the highest sthayi bhav also has, like for example, Madhurya Ras, includes Vatsalya and includes Sakya and includes Dasya. So those don't give a specific sattva, because different emotions on Sakya or Dasya can be also moving in the heart. So the sattva will be always be dynamic.
Mm. Because but when we say bhav, when we say, and this we'll discuss much more when we discuss sthayi bhavs. But when we say they're included, we mean the qualities are included, not that actually they're included. In other words, you know, like Srila Prabhupada would be very critical of a man who called his own wife mother. You know, so you could say that the qualities of parental bhav are included in the conjugal bhav, but it's not that the parental bhav is part of the conjugal bhav, but the qualities of it, the qualities of caring for somebody are included. Mm. You know, that and the intimacy of the parental bhav is included. You know, when you're someone's parent, especially if they're a very young child, you're rendering very intimate service to them. So that intimacy even increases in the Madhurya bhav, but you don't have a sense that you're your spouse's mother or father. That's actually disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
If I think, okay, you know, I'm my husband's mother or I'm my wife's father, that's actually awful. That's terrible. Yeah. That's a horrible thing. But the qualities, you know, the qualities of this parental caring and nurturing, you know, husbands and wives nurture each other and care for mm-hmm. each other. So that's there. And, you know, friendship has a certain sense of equality. So there's also some sense of equality in between husband and wife. You know, they're one being. The wife is considered the other half of the husband's body, for example. But it's not quite the same as friendship. You know, certainly a husband and wife will often say, well, you know, my wife's my best friend or my husband's my best friend. But it's not quite the same taste as friendship. It's a little different taste. Although the qualities...
It's nice.
Is that clear?
Yes, very good.
Yeah. Again, we'll discuss this more when we discuss sthayi bhavs. There are people who have a mixture of different sthayi bhavs. So there are people who are like mixed friendship and parental, or mixed friendship and servitude, or mixed conjugal and servitude. So there are mixes, and in those cases there's one sthayi bhav that's prominent, and sometimes the other ones come in. And another thing we might mention briefly here, and it really has to be briefly, is whether or not the seven secondary sthayi bhavs are sthayi bhavs or vyavichari bhavs. And Bharat Muni treats them as something different, that joy, fear, wonder, etc., are secondary sthaibhavas. And Rupa seems to, in deference to Bharat Muni, he treats them as secondary sthaibhavas, but he also deals with them to some extent as if they were vyavicharibhavas. Now, the main difference is that a secondary sthaibhav leaves a permanent impression, whereas the vyavicharibhavas do not. And again, to give a material example, if I pull my friend away from a car, there's not a long-standing impression of fear in relationship to that. The next time when I see my friend the next day, I'm not there's no impression of that fear that I had. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay. I also just want to mention that in our class next week, we're going to talk about vyavicharibhavas that do not appear to come directly from rati. So although this is our basic understanding here, just like there were sattvika bhavas that did not appear to come directly from rati, but connected with rati afterwards, like Mother Yasoda feeling afraid from Putana in a dream, and the dream part is not what's important, and then feeling afraid for Krishna. So there are also vyavicharibhavas, and someone asked a question about that for today's class. That will be discussed next week. So there are vyavicharibhavas that appear to come from things that aren't related to rati and then get connected to rati. Anybody else have any discussion on this? Purna Praja Keshava Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I would like to know, these are all in the level of prema, and we are discussing the rasas in that transcendental state. But how can we relate that to our present state of consciousness and get motivation similar to do it better in our current state? It's like, you know, it's like a movie. It's like hearing like a movie. Sorry to say that. Sorry.
I think I understand what you're saying, and if I'm not understanding it, please correct me. First of all, it's important for us to know where we're going. You know, maybe at my present state, my taste for Krishna is very small. Maybe it's like a grain of dust. But at least I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what is the goal. That's important. It's so important that Srila Prabhupada published this Nectar Devotion in 1969. I'd like us really to meditate on that as we're studying this. Srila Prabhupada published Nectar Devotion in 1969. And it's because of that that we run into so many bewildering situations with some of the ways that Srila Prabhupada is translating these terms. You know, Srila Prabhupada says at least three times, I think more, in the Nectar Devotion itself, that it was hard for him to figure out what English words to use. And his disciples couldn't help him. I mean, his disciples had been practicing Krishna consciousness at most 2 or 3 years. They couldn't figure this out. They couldn't say, oh, Srila Prabhupada, this would be a way to explain it. And so a lot of Nectar Devotion, if you don't look at Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if you don't look back at the source, is very, very difficult to understand because of this difficulty that Srila Prabhupada himself said with the translation. But even so, Srila Prabhupada felt it so important to get this book out early in the movement. Just think about that for a moment. Why? And then Prabhupada had Krishna book published in 1970. Why? Because if we don't know where we're going, how are we going to develop properly? How are we going to be inspired? What does Prabhupada say in the Bhagavatam in reference to the spiritual world? That we should be captivated by this information. It should captivate us. We should think, wow, I want that. Krishna explains in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he said, always think of me with love. And if you can't do that, engage in sadhana bhakti so you will develop a desire to attain me. So reading this should spark a desire in us. We should be like, wow. You know, right now as a sadhaka, every once in a while I have some feeling of attraction for Krishna and something stirs in my consciousness. But if I could be in that state all the time in an intense way. So the other thing is that on an even practical day-to-day basis, this science does also apply to material relationships. It does. And it's also of help for us to understand why we do what we do, even in this world. I mean, I really like how in the very beginning, in the preface, Srila Prabhupada says that everything we do is motivated by rasa. That we're getting some taste from everything we do. And so, if I want to change my behavior in some way, identifying the taste that I'm getting, what rasa am I experiencing here? And how could I try to experience that more spiritually? Is also very, very helpful. I mean, I had a discussion yesterday with some devotees that evoked some very difficult and troubling emotions in me. That I was really struggling with how to process what I was feeling after this discussion. And I came back to it again this morning and started meditating on similar emotions in the Leelas, in Krishna's Leelas. And it helped me to gain detachment and purification from the material emotions. So I see that these are also very helpful to understand.
Do you have any, yeah.
You have any other any further thoughts on this?
Yes, this material result will, since it is on the material platform, it won't give the bliss or the happiness which one experiences on the transcendental state.
Correct.
So that we don't want to experience this on the material platform. If it is having such a good experience, then we would like to have it.
Well, we will experience it on the material platform, as long as we have a body and mind. Then different states are going to pass through our body and mind. But if we want, they don't bring us real happiness. You know, anything that's mundane, servitude, friendship, parental, conjugal, does not bring us real happiness. And mundane, fear, wonder, even comedy, it doesn't bring us real happiness. It's just a reflection. It's trying to eat an apple in a mirror. But what we can do when we try to eat the apple in the mirror is we can understand if I'm seeing an apple in a mirror, there must be an apple where? If I'm seeing an apple in a mirror, where must there be a real apple? It must be behind me, right? If I'm looking in a mirror and I see an apple, there must be a real apple behind me. So one thing we can do with this science is when I find myself trying to taste the reflection and just hitting a piece of glass, I can turn around and I can look for the reality. Adoita Krishna Prabhu?
Just a small reflection. What hits me and for some time now is when Prabhupada was in Boston on that very first day, 17th September, which is tomorrow, 1965, in this fifth paragraph of his Markine Bhagavad Dharma, he writes, he said, how will I be able to teach them the mellows of devotional service? And that, I think, is very striking. It's here. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, even when he realizes how they're degraded when he first sees the situation in America? So it's kind of very, very, I find that very inspiring.
Mm.
That's all.
Mm. Mm. Okay, yes, Ratnam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, all these bhavs like Anubhav, Vibhav, Rishari Bhav, Sanchari Bhav, and Sadhvi, they are experienced with a soul level, right, Mataji?
Correct.
Experienced by the soul.
Correct.
So one is totally become pure, they can experience all this bhavs during the same.
Correct.
Okay.
But even before we are pure, we will experience some shadows and reflections of them.
is chai rati? That's you are saying, Mataji. That's experience the shadow of.
We will experience some shadows and reflections of these. Even total materialists can experience some shadows and reflections in association with devotees, what to speak of a practicing devotee. And as we progress, we should, at a certain point, we will start to actually experience some of them in reality, although it may be on a beginning level. So I have a question just written to me, just in a chat. Is desire and emotion the same? They're very related. They're not exactly the same. And Vibhav would be more related to the desire, and Vyavicharibhav more related to the emotion. So the Vibhav is more related to the desire, and Vyavicharibhav more related to the emotion. So Kasturika asked me, is that clear, Kasturika? You need to unmute.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So again, you know, my desire to be Mother Krishna Priya's friend is invoked by Mother Krishna Priya and by her other friends and by things. That brings out my desire to be her friend. But the emotions that interact with my friendship are different. They're certainly related. Okay, I'd like you each to just take... just going to take about 3 minutes here. And imagine that you're explaining this to somebody else. And please write down your explanation of this relationship. You can choose who your audience is, a non-devotee or devotee, whatever. Just write a few sentences. Okay. If we can start the recording again.
Recording in progress.
Okay, we want to just briefly look at making a distinction, and we're going to have a group discussion in a minute to talk about this. So many of these emotions appear negative and unwanted. So in this description of Vyavicharibhavs, many of them appear like, why would I want to feel that? You know, when I feel those emotions materially, I really want them to go away. And we'll find that in the emotions that are described by Rupa Goswami and by Bharat Muni, that a lot of them appear negative. So, you know, a lot of them appear again to be on the material level, the way I feel when things are going badly. However, these are all original spiritual emotions. Now, even my material emotions that appear to be nice ones, as we just said, actually do not cause me happiness. So these are the 33 Vyavicharibhavs: disappointment, lamentation, humility, guilt, fatigue, intoxication, pride, doubt, apprehension, intense emotion, madness, forgetfulness, disease, confusion, death, laziness, inertness. So death means a feeling of death, generally. Bashfulness, concealment, remembrance, argumentativeness, I like that one, anxiety, thoughtfulness, endurance, happiness, eagerness, violence, haughtiness, envy, impudence, dizziness, sleepiness, and alertness. Again, I want to emphasize Srila Prabhupada himself saying that it's difficult to find English translations of these words. There are many ways to translate these words. Here we're taking Srila Prabhupada's translations with Prabhupada himself telling us that he's finding it difficult to find the equivalent English word. So please, please keep that in mind. All right, so we're going to have a breakout group to end this session. And here what I want you to discuss is how emotions, and I can write this in the chat. Let me write in the chat. So I want you just to discuss in a group how emotions with the same name and similar characteristics can be a material experience or a spiritual experience. So this is what we're going to be discussing. Shakti Swarupini, if you could set up the breakout groups, please. We're going to do this 10 minutes to end this session.
Hare Krishna. Recording in progress.
Hare Krishna. Well, I hope that you all found that illuminating. So now we're going to take our 10-minute break, and then we'll be discussing each of the Vyavichari Bhavs individually. So please take a real break. Get away from your phone. Get away from your computer. Take a walk. Drink some water or something. We'll see you again in 10 minutes. Hare Krishna.
Recording stopped.
Okay. We are now going to go quickly through all the Vyavichari Bhavs.
Recording in progress.
Okay, so we are going to go quickly through all the Vyavichari Bhavs. And it will be quick. All right. So for each Vyavichari Bhav, Rupa Goswami gives causes and symptoms. Now, my understanding is these are not the only causes or the only symptoms, but they are generally causes and general symptoms, and then he will give an example of something from the Leela for each of these specific causes. So for disappointment, and I'm going to reiterate again and again and again, the specific English translations of these are very approximate. So disappointment. From sorrow, when Nanda Maharaj tells Mother Yasoda, let's just go drown ourselves in the Yamuna now that Krishna is going to die there. So in this case, Nanda and Yasoda were saying, that Nanda was saying, this will, we're so sinful. And we had a question that, wow, if Nanda and Yasoda are thinking they're sinful, what about me? But this is, it's out of love. They are just thinking, if our son Krishna is dying in the Yamuna, we must be very, very sinful. How sinful we must be that our son is dying. And so what is the use of living anymore? We should just die too. So it's such an intense disappointment. From separation. So Radharani is saying, if I can't see Krishna, I should just be blind. If I can't hear Krishna, I should just be deaf. And Subal saying, Krishna's going to leave for Mathura. I should just go too. What is the point? What is the point of going on? Why bother doing anything if Krishna's not here? Or from anger. Narada's glorifying Rukmini in front of Satyabhama. Why should I even do anything? Now, we had the question about envy, because Prabhupada calls this feminine envy. And we know that in the spiritual world there's no envy. So this is, it's a loving competition that's very pleasing to Krishna. And this, Prabhupada says, competition gives life. So this Vyavichari Bhava of disappointment, why should I even bother? Rukmini is actually Krishna's love. She's actually more qualified than me. It ends up giving her an impetus to love Krishna more. It's not that she hates Rukmini. From lamentation, thinking my life has been spoiled by material attachment. What is the use? Now, there's a particular note about this disappointment. And Rupa Goswami lists it first because Bharat Muni lists it first. Now, materially, this is very inauspicious, as you've discussed in the last breakout group. In other words, if I feel like I just want to die, or I don't want to go on anymore, everything is ruined, generally that's tamagun. But in the spiritual life, it's part of the neutral love of God, which, again, those qualities are included in all the other sthayi bhavs. and it spiritually preserves love. All right, lamentation. Okay, and again, Rupa's giving various causes and various symptoms. Some of these symptoms are anubhav, some of them are sattvikabhav. That's true for all of them. Okay. And then someone may say, well, these causes may seem to be material causes, but these are causes in relationship to Krishna, generally. Generally, and we'll look at that next week, with causes that don't appear in relationship to Krishna. So from not attaining your desired object, I haven't made any advancement. Now again, this can be a material thing, where it can just be tamagun, where a person can just say, wow, you know, I've never made any advancement, what's the use, oh, I'm so fallen, and it can just be a bunch of self-centered tamagun. But it can also be some spiritual emotion of, oh, I want to please Krishna more, I want to please Krishna more. And then waking up before being able to offer flowers in dream. Oh, why didn't I go on and be able to offer Krishna flowers? From impending disaster. Nanda Maharaj brings Krishna to Mathura, and then he sees the elephant. He's like, oh, why didn't I bring Krishna to Mathura? Should have just stayed back in Vrindavan. From committing an offense. Rupa often gives an example from the Brahma Bhimohan Lila. So, of Lord Brahma trying to show his powers by stealing the cowherd. Why did I do that? Akura, when he took the Shamantaka jewel, and he was like, oh, why did I take the jewel? Why didn't I just immediately give it to Krishna? Humility. So again, we have causes. And here it's interesting that some of the causes are other emotions. And we'll also look at that next week. Vyavichari bhavs within Vyavichari bhavs, like Russian nesting dolls. So sorrow can cause humility. Fear can cause humility. Or having committed an offense can cause humility. And then you can see again with the symptoms, some are anubhavs, and some are like more like sattvikabhavs, like inactivity. Is a sattvikabhav. Okay, humility from sorrow. When Muchakunda was thinking of his past bad deeds, he asked Krishna for shelter. From fear. Now, this is a very interesting one. You know, Aswatthama, he'd already killed Draupadi's sleeping sons. Now he was trying to kill Parikkit in the womb. He was trying to cause a miscarriage for Uttara. And Uttara was praying to Krishna, and she said, you can kill me if you want, but please save my child. So, because she was so afraid for her child, this invoked her sense of humility and love for Krishna. From committing an offense, again, we have Brahma Mavohan Lila, where Lord Brahma asked to be excused. So he had this deep sense of humility from his offense. From shame and embarrassment. So the gopis who were feeling some shame and embarrassment that they were naked when Krishna stole their clothes. This is interesting. Depression or guilt or a lack of energy, a decrease in ojas. Those of you who are familiar with Ayurveda, you know that ojas is the final stage of energy in the body that comes from the food that we eat. And again, this exists materially, that one. But here, it's on the spiritual level. And again, we see the anubhavs and sattvikabhavs that result from this emotion of, right? So, from physical exertion, Radharani's churning yogurt for Krishna, and then she's too tired to churn. Radharani going to an inaccessible forest. So it was all this physical exertion to get to this inaccessible forest to find special flowers. They only grew there. It was a lot of work to get there, and she was just exhausted. But it was an exhaustion of love. and from mental anxieties. So Rupa also gives a lot of examples with Mother Yasoda being worried about Krishna. So she's worried about Krishna and the mental anxiety. Again, materially, we have this experience that if I have a lot of mental anxiety, that it can be exhausting. But spiritually, this is a stimulus for love. So from romance, where Krishna raised Radha very carefully from the bed, and they came to the veranda of a house that shined with moonlight. So he was helping her up and assisting her because she was so tired from their romantic adventures, which is, again, a very sweet thing. And then fatigue, which is, of course, similar. And again, we find the Anubhavs and the Sattvikabhavs. I hope you're making some notes on these. I forgot to say in the beginning, we will be discussing this at the end. So if you can be making some notes on this and thinking about what one or two of Vyavicharibhavs you want to discuss. So again, an example of each one from losing the way. Mother Yasoda, who felt fatigue in love when she's chasing Krishna in the yard. This, I like fatigue from dancing. And the example he gives is Baladeva and the Cowherd Boys. They had a big dancing festival by the side of the river, Yamuna. And they were perspiring, which is, of course, a Sattvikabhav. And they were experiencing this blissful, blissful fatigue that increased their Staibhava, friendship with Krishna, and fatigue from romance. Krishna wiping the perspiration from the faces of the gopis. Of course, in some of Acharya's books, it explains that as Krishna wipes their perspiration from their faces, that the touch of his hand acts as a stimulant and makes them perspire more. So intoxication, a kind of rapture that destroys discriminatory power. The causes of intoxication are intoxication and love. And here we have again the Anubhavs and the Sattvikabhavs that come from that. And this was a wonderful thing. I too long to put on a slide, but how Lord Balaram is speaking about smashing the universe and how the whole world is trembling and very much enjoying this. Prabhupada makes a note there that when a person becomes intoxicated with liquor, a superior person goes to sleep, second best person laughs and sings, and the lowest person shouts, uses rough words, and weeps. Intoxication from love. So Radharani, in this intoxicated love, she's frowning, wandering about, laughing, weeping, covering her face, prattling, offering respects. Okay, then there's pride. Here we have all the different causes of pride. And again, the Anubhavs and the Sattvikabhavs. Now, treating others with contempt. Again, materially, this is a terrible thing. There's research, I forget the name of the researcher, Glottman, I think. Anyway, very famous, who researched why people stay together or don't in marriage. And one of the main causes of disruption in marriage is contempt. That basically, if he sees contempt, he says, you know, this marriage is not going to last unless you get rid of this contempt. It's the greatest love killer. But here, this contempt is a loving thing. Just like when we have a very intimate friend or relation, we may sometimes behave as if we were treating them with contempt, but simply as a sign of intimacy. That sometimes insulting people in a loving, joking, affectionate way actually increases intimacy. So pride from good fortune, this is one of my favorites, where Bilva Mangala Thakur says, is it really astonishing if you can give up holding my hand? I will consider you a real man if you can take yourself from my heart. So it's some pride. I can hold you in my heart. You can't get away from my heart. This is this mamata. And then pride from beauty. So Radharani's friends telling Krishna, Radharani's so beautiful, she's not even going to look at you. She's so beautiful. You've enjoyed and left so many women, and our Radharani is so qualified. Why should she even look at you? And from good qualities, where Radharani noted that although Krishna's friends were very expert at making garlands, it was her garland that Krishna held to his heart. Isn't it nice to know that there's good pride? Yeah? Right? We struggle so much with our material pride. There's a good form of pride. The pride from taking shelter of the Lord. Wow! Even the fallen devotees can conquer over their enemies. Woohoo! I have Krishna as my master. From attaining one's desired object. So a weaver in Mathura, he said, I don't care about meditating on the Lord of Vaikuntha. I have Krishna. I have Krishna. I have seen Krishna. I have Krishna. Why should I care about any other goal, any other attainment? So doubt or apprehension, and again Rupa's giving the causes, and he gives the Anubhavas and Sattvikabhavas. So from stealing, and we have the same two examples that were given previously, that Lord Brahma, after stealing the boys and calves, he had doubt, he was scared, and his eight eyes are looking, you know, oh, I'm going to get caught. And then Akura, after he took the Shyamantaka jewel, he's thinking, I've hidden this jewel, I fled away, now I have anxiety, I have no happiness. Of course, it was increasing his love for Krishna. From offense, we have Indra, where he was advised to stop pouring rain and to surrender to Krishna. And he was feeling this apprehension and this doubt from seeing others' cruelty. So that Krishna's friends in Vrindavan, they're thinking, oh, Krishna's fighting with all these demons in Mathura. And they're worrying about him unnecessarily. No harm is going to come from him. And there's just a little note that this apprehension can turn all the way to fear, especially in women. All right, now, terror or apprehension. So this is a more extreme form. Also, some of you noticed that sometimes distinguishing between these is difficult. That is certainly the case. That's true, again, even with our material emotions. Sometimes it's hard to sort out. And this is explained more, we'll explain this more next week, how some of these emotions are subsets or included in other emotions and so forth. So here are causes. And again, the Anubhavs and the Sattvikabhavs that come from this emotion. Oh, so we have a note here. This is from verse 2458 in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Jiva Goswami's commentary, that if there's a disturbance of the mind and shaking of the limbs without any consideration of thought, it's called trusta. And if it's bhaya, then there's also consideration. So one is an emotion with consideration and thought, and one is an emotion without consideration or thought. All right. So from lightning, when the cowherd boy said, Krishna, please save us from the lightning. From dangerous creatures with Vishasura, and the gopis are trembling and embracing a tamal tree, out of apprehension. Scary sounds. Mother Yasoda heard wolves howling, and then for days she wouldn't let Krishna out of her sight. All right, intense emotion. Now, I always like this intense emotion one. It's just kind of, well, what are we going to call feelings that we can't put a specific name to? And someone asked, how is this different from terror and apprehension? This intense emotion is a lot more widespread. It's much more general. It can also be called mental conclusion. Mental confusion, not conclusion, sorry. And here we have again the Anubhavas and the Sattvikabhavas. So Rupa Goswami, and I didn't put it in here because it would have been another like 20 slides. Rupa Goswami gives different anubhavs and different sattvic abhavs depending on the cause. So if it's dear things, there are certain anubhavs and sattvic abhavs. If the cause is detested objects, there's different anubhavs and sattvic abhavs. If the cause is fire, there's different anubhavs and sattvic abhavs. It just makes me feel like, you know, so many people in the world talk about, I love God. We have this whole incredible, incredible science. Okay, from seeing a dear object, Mother Yasoda seeing Krishna come home every afternoon in the forest. Right? In the material world, you know, the husband comes home at the end of the day and, hi, dear. Not using intense emotion every day. The wives of the brahmanas from hearing about a dear object, hearing that Krishna was near. From seeing something detestable. So Mother Yasoda seeing that the trees had fallen so close to Krishna. Seeing that Krishna was on the chest of Putana. And the second incident, by the way, is also described as part of the secondary sthaibhav of anger. The forest fire in Vrindavan, there is mental confusion, intense emotion from wind. When Trinavarta carries up Krishna, Mother Yasoda is disturbed. From rain. So the people asking, everyone in Vrindavan asking Krishna for shelter from Indra's rain, and elders telling Krishna, it's hailing, don't go out in the hail. From calamity. When Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya and there were all these bad omens and the residents of Vrindavan were feeling so many intense emotions. That description of the intense emotions of the residents of Vrindavan when Krishna was in Kaliya, they were crying so much, the ground was becoming muddy. From wicked animals, from elephants and wicked animals. So the women in Mathura are feeling intense emotions from the elephant attacking Krishna. And Mother Yasoda feeling an anxiety when she saw Keshi. Krishna saying, don't worry, don't worry. Intense emotion from enemies. Yasoda's friends worried that Sankachuta, maybe he will kill Krishna. Also from enemies. This is interesting. This is the other princes when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, feeling intense emotion. And this is actually a semblance of spiritual emotion. This isn't a boss. And because the emotion is being felt by Krishna's enemies, but it's mentioned because devotees feel happy at the mental confusion of Krishna's enemies. All right, madness. Again, we have our causes. A confused understanding. And we have our anubhavs and sattvikabhavs, our symptoms, doing things opposite to what you normally do. Calamities. Again, we have Kaliya. So when Krishna was in Kaliya's lake, Yasoda became almost insane. She starts going to the animals. Oh, you know the mantras. Tell me the mantras to save Krishna. She's going to the trees. Your doctor is giving medicine for Krishna. She really went nuts. From separation, when the gopis are talking to the trees and plants, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna gone? That craziness. It's interesting, Prabhupada used this as an example when he told a devotee that the spiritual world is not some sort of utopia. When we say the pure devotees are free from mistakes, Prabhupada defines mistakes as accidental sins. Because here we see Radharani's churning an empty yogurt pot, and Krishna, seeing this, tries to milk a bull. So there, that's madness in love. Forgetfulness. So this means almost a total, again, the English word is very approximate. What's meant here is an almost total lack of consciousness. All of the elements of the bodies are disturbed due to grief. And here we have again the anubhavas and the sattvikabhavas. And here is an example that Yasoda, when Krishna's in Mathura, she's foaming at the mouth. Her arms are moving like waves in the ocean. She whirls about, rolls on the ground, makes sounds, is motionless. And then we have a semblance of this in the demons. So I also thought this was funny. The Kamsa's friends are wandering around on the beach, tried to find a picture of demons wandering on a beach. Whirling about like wheels, they cannot stop. Foam is coming in their mouth. Their arms are flailing about. Disease. So isn't it interesting, you know, one of the things we hate the most in this world is disease. But there's an ecstatic symptom of disease. Huh? Feeling diseased. In separation from Krishna, the devotees in separation from Krishna. They feel burning, motionless, rolling on the ground. All right, those were the first 13. Now in chapter 30, here we have the second 20 of the 33 Vyavichari Bhavs. So the first is confusion or a complete lack of awareness. This is internal inaction. Internal inaction. And we have again the causes. Joy, separation, fear, lamentation. We have the Anubhavs and the Satvikabhavs related. These are not complete lists. These are general lists. Okay, confusion from joy. This example was given previously in the section on Vibhava, where Rupa had given the 18 faults, and Jiva had explained that 16 of those in relation to prema were actually good qualities. And then he also gave this example that even the devotees sometimes do things that are apparent faults that are good qualities. And this was the example that was given by Jiva at that time, that Rishi Sukadeva Goswami, while he was talking about Krishna, he lost contact with his senses and with great difficulty brought back his external consciousness and began to speak to Maharshi Parikshit. That's from 10.12.44. Then confusion from joy. So this is when the women from Vraja saw Krishna at Kurukshetra. And I figure this must be Kurukshetra because it looks like there's an eclipse going on there. So when they finally saw Krishna in Kurukshetra alone, without all the other devotees there, they were so happy that they became confused from separation. So when Krishna was not there, Radharani went to the Jamuna, she saw a cottage where she'd been with Krishna, and she just became very confused. Arjuna becoming so confused at seeing the universal form, he didn't even know that he dropped his bow. He lost awareness of that. When Krishna was about to be swallowed by Bakasura, and the cowherd boys became so confused. All right, so a little note about confusion is that in this emotion of confusion, devotees lose awareness of everything, objects, their own body, but they never lose awareness of Krishna. And Jiva Goswami's commentary is the devotees are still conscious of Krishna because these emotional states cannot exist without their consciousness of Krishna. So they lose awareness of everything else other than Krishna in this particular emotional state. Now, death. So this is an emotion like death, unclear speaking, change of bodily color, feeble breathing, and hiccups. I have no idea why hiccups. So this is, it's called mriti, or death. So Putana had symptoms while dying. This example is given, but it's not quite the same emotion that appears in the devotees. And a little note here, is this is also about the emotional state just prior to death. But some authorities say that this emotion should be considered only externally similar to death as an anubhav. Now, Rupa does give an example of persons who were dying in Mathura in love of Krishna. The emotions they had while dying in love for Krishna. Interesting, huh? What emotions go through a pure devotee as they're dying in love for Krishna? And laziness. So, interesting that laziness can be a Vyavichari Bhav. Not wanting to do anything even though you can. And the brahmanas at the Govardhan Puja, they said, we're so happy. We're not going to go around Govardhan Hill. We're not even going to give blessings. We're just chilling out here in blissful laziness. and fatigue, how Subal is tired from wrestling and will not even do any mock fighting for a while. Krishna says, you let him rest, he's tired. Inertness. Again, we have the causes, the anubhavs and the sattvikabhavs. Now, a note about inertness. Inertness is very connected with moha, an inoperative mind or confusion. So it can occur before an inoperative mind or after. So inertness from hearing desirable things, the calves, they hear Krishna's flute and they just become inert from 10:21:14. Gopis who become inert when they hear Krishna calling the name of a rival gopi. Inertness when Krishna went to visit Yudhisthira and from Bhagavatam 10:71:40, and Yudhisthira just became inert. What do I do? He couldn't remember how to receive Krishna. When Krishna went to Mathura from 10:39:37, and the gopis became inert like painted pictures. Devotees who become inert like neglected deities. Deities wearing old soiled clothing, never had a bath, they became inert like that. Bashfulness. So again, we have causes and anubhavs and sattvikabhavs. From meeting Krishna for the first time, where Radharani's friend says, hey, you've already given Krishna the elephant, now you give him the goat to control the elephant too. Give up your bashfulness. From doing something forbidden, and Krishna says to Indra, all right, you can have the parijata flower so you're not embarrassed in front of your wife. From praise, when Krishna was praising Uddhava, listing all of his good qualities. From neglect, where Krishna's wife Satya says, how can I even look at these flowers on the mountain when Krishna doesn't love me anymore? Concealment. So, wanting to conceal one's anubhavs because one is feeling very low. So, from deceit, this is when Krishna returns to Rasleela and the gopis are angry. They're trying to conceal their anger by smiling at Krishna. Rukmini, as concealing because of her mild nature, even though she was furious when Krishna planted the parijata tree in Satyabhama's courtyard, she concealed her anger. Krishna's wives, from 1:11:32, they sent their sons to embrace, they embraced Krishna in their heart. They sent their sons to embrace Krishna, but they were shy to embrace Krishna their self. And the gopis who are... Somebody needs to mute. Ah, found it. Okay. So the gopis just saying that, how Krishna's deceiving us and we're shy and so they're concealing their love by good qualities. So Radharani used her good qualities to conceal her affection for Krishna from others. Then due to respect, this one I also really like, and this will relate to what we'll discuss later in Staibhav. Patri is Krishna's servant, and he has a more of a mood of reverence to Krishna. And when the cowherd boys start joking in a familiar way, he also starts laughing. He starts to experience their mood, but then he pulls back. Because, like, no, it's not what I want. It's not my taste. Fascinating, fascinating example. Remembrance. And again, we have causes and anubhavs and sattvikabhavs. And Radharani seeing a dark cloud and remembering Krishna in the dark cloud and feeling the force of love. And this other example, again, I really like. This is any devotee who's always thinking of Krishna. If they're inattentive for a moment, Krishna just appears. They just remember Krishna naturally. And by that practice, like when the gopis say, we're always trying to forget Krishna. Why can't we forget him? Argumentativeness. few things to correct on these slides. Okay. So Madhu Mangal, seeing that Krishna had dropped his peacock feather and didn't notice the garland, he figured, Krishna's thinking about Radharani. Argumentativeness. Do you think this walking personality is a tamal tree? How is it possible? Tamal trees can't walk and be so beautiful. Maybe he's a cloud. How, if he's a cloud, where's the moon? It must be Mukunda walking on Govardhan Hill. Then pondering. Again, anxiety of pondering. Again, the causes and the anubhav sattvikabhavs. And when Krishna asked the gopis to go back to their home, 10:29:29, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that the gopis are thinking, we gave up shyness for love. But Krishna is not under our control, so what was the use of giving up our shyness? Usually the gopis would tell Krishna that they weren't interested in him. In this case, they told him that they were interested. They said, we really want you. But then Krishna wasn't moved initially anyway. They thought, why do we give up our shyness for nothing? Mother Yasoda. Krishna hadn't returned home yet from the forest. And so she's just sitting on the balcony, watching the whole evening. All right. My dear Yasoda, don't be worried. I'll go immediately with Akura to the palace of Kamsa and get your son back for you. By the way, Jiva says the speaker of this is Gargamuni, and Srila Prabhupada says the speaker of this is Nanda. Thoughtfulness. I like this one. Consulting scripture to reach a conclusion. And Anubhavs are performing necessary actions after cutting doubts and illusions, giving instructions to students, and defeating others' arguments and opposite conclusion. I thought, yes, Avyavichari Bhav. So studying the Puranas to see that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And Rukmini Devi, in her answers to Krishna after he teases her, she gives very deep philosophical answers. Endurance, again, are causes and Anubhav. And suffering above. This is Nasochitina Kanchati, the symptoms here. So, from realizing the Lord, I've realized you, I don't need anything. I don't need to worry about clothes, don't need to worry about food, I don't need to worry about the government, I have you. And this is also one of my favorites, where Nandamar says, our cow sheds have become the playground of Lakshmi, more than 100,000 billion cows. Are wandering or running around. I'm sure it's a little hyperbole. A divine child is playing in the house. I am fully satisfied with the happiness of family life. And from Prema, I don't even have any awareness for Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha, which would become like grass. Happiness. So happiness from seeing one's desired object. When Krishna put his arm on a devotee's shoulder and she smelled him, 10:33:11, and therefore she kissed him. Akura seeing Krishna and Balaram, and he became so joyful. So eagerness, not being able, the opposite of patience. So from a desire to see one's desired object, the city women who ran into the streets to see Krishna, and Radharani hearing the flute who ran into the forest. From a desire to see one's cherished object, to attain one's cherished object, the gopis who tried to keep Krishna around by prolonging the conversation, even though he left to go to the bower. Violence and ferocity. So, Garuda, he can't interfere with Kaliya, right? He knows that Krishna would get angry if he interfered with Kaliya, but he's thinking, by my power, the snakes have abortions, and I want to offer Kaliya to the fire of my stomach, but I'm afraid of Krishna's anger, so he's feeling some ferocity. And Sahadev, who's feeling that ferocity of anyone who can't tolerate that Krishna's getting the first worship in the Rajasuya. And Lord Balaram, who becomes filled with ferocity when the crews are insulting Krishna. Of course, later then he drags Hastinapur. Haughtiness. And again, this contempt or insult, this is a loving thing. The example is given of Jatila, who says, "You cannot disturb my daughter-in-law who's sitting by my side." From disrespect, so a gopi says, "Why are you praising the rival gopi in our presence?" Haughtiness from being cheated by Vritam 10:31:16, where the gopis couldn't find Krishna in the Vrindavan forest and they accused him of being a cheater. Envy. And again, the word malice is used here, but there's no malice in the spiritual world. So this, it's got to be something else. It cannot be ordinary envy. It's got to be some loving kind of competition. This is a really funny one. "All right, Krishna's decorated your forehead, but he did it so nicely. It's so perfect, he must not have been agitated by love for you." And then the criticism of Radharani's going off with Krishna from 10:30:31. And Balaram's team thinks itself strong and able to defeat our team with Krishna on our side. Is there anyone weaker than Balaram's team in the world? So this very loving insult. Impudence. Isn't it nice in Vrindavan? Everything's not just formal. So impudence from attachment, when Rukmini says, "Krishna kidnapped me," it was impudent. Or from hatred, "May that flute flow in the Jamuna to the sea." Then dizziness or drowsiness. So this is an emotion of, this is again an emotion that causes these sattvika bhavs and vyavichari bhavs. So this is the emotion behind the sattvika bhavs of dizziness, and it causes other vyavichari bhavs, as most of these do. So from worry, Mother Yasoda, who didn't hear the flute in the evening, and she was so worried. Mother Yasoda getting tired from tying up Krishna. I like this one too. The residents of Vrindavan, they would just sleep in their courtyards in fearlessness. And then Vishakha, who after enjoying with Krishna, slept on his chest in blissfulness. Now we should note that the state of Nidra is a state of concentration on the Lord found in the highest devotees of Krishna. It's not material sleep. It's beyond the modes. It is the state, boy, I'm finding a lot of mistakes here. It is the state just previous to extinguishing of consciousness in which one just fixes on Krishna without any particular pastimes. So here we have sleepiness, dreaming. So the other was sleepiness, this is sleepiness, dreaming. And this is a great one. Balaram's talking in his sleep. "Krishna, get rid of this Kaliya." And the Yadus are laughing, hearing this. And then Lord Balaram yawns so hard as to make ripples on his abdomen. Alertness. So this is the opposite. So alertness from destruction of ignorance. "I conquered the material energy. Now I'm going to look just for Krishna." Jiva Goswami refers to Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. From destruction of illusion in general. So when illusion is enjoyed, is it destroyed by the sound, taste, etc. of the Lord. Illusion destroyed by the sound of the Lord. So just Radharani, when she sees Krishna, when she hears the holy name of Krishna, by the smell of the Lord, alertness. Krishna disappears as a joke. And then when Radharani smells the garlands, Krishna's garlands on the ground, again she becomes alert by the touch of the Lord. So whose touch is this, which is soft, blissful, and all-conquering? That touch removes all Mahalakshmi says she can't hear me. maybe some of you are having this problem. You can listen to
the recording that night.
Yeah, listen to the recording later for that. Okay, so being alert from Krishna's touch. And alertness from having a dream. So Radharani has a dream that Krishna's touching her, and then she woke up and was alert and saw her elders in front of her. Alertness naturally waking up from sleep. So a messenger woke up Radharani, she became very alert. By sound, Krishna blew on his flute, and all the gopis got up in alertness. And their sleeping condition was like the white swans, and the sound of Krishna's flute was like the black bees. So we are going a little over time here, but I'd like to end here with one breakout group for 10 minutes. And please, each one of you, pick one Vyavichari Bhav that you find most interesting. One Vyavichari Bhav that you find most interesting. And discuss that. You can set up the breakout groups.
Recording in progress.
I hope that was helpful.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Okay. I hope that was helpful for all of you. We have gone a little bit over time, so we are going to end here. A lot of the any remaining difficulty that we're having with Vyavichari Bhavs, I have no... Somehow my camera's off. Oh. So a lot of the... Any remaining thing with Vyavichari Bhavs, we will discuss next week. So there's a lot... we finished looking at the individual Vyavichari Bhavs this week. Next week we're going to look at Vyavichari Bhavs within Vyavichari Bhavs, Vyavichari Bhavs causing Vyavichari Bhavs. What are the Vyavichari Bhavs that come directly from Rati, that don't come directly from Rati, and semblance of them. And so maybe a lot of the questions and things that came up will be solved next week, and I really look forward to getting those wonderful questions. Thank you for your patience that we went about 6 minutes over today. And we'll see you, Krishna willing, next week. Those of you who are having some difficulty with the internet connection, I do suggest you go over the recording, and I will also be sending out the PowerPoint. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rupa Goswami ki jai. Huh?